Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to 2024 and a brand new episode of the Fontaka Junction. Real Talk is the first episode of the year, and I hope that you are excited to join us on this journey again for another year. As usual, I've got my steadies with me, my right-hand people, the strong and chested one, Resha Resha, and the delectable Analaika. Guys, what's good? It's a new year, 2024. Are you guys pumped for the year?
Let's say we are ready.
Yeah.
We're ready for where it has to.
I think Anna is pumped, more pumped for the year.
Who is the one with the big chested?
Who's the stronger chested one? I don't understand. Eh? Yeah, I mean, the year started, you know, pretty quietly. I mean, it's that time of the year where everybody has probably, you know, gone home to the village and gone to wherever it is they want to go to have a nice time. And I think that very, very soon, Lagos especially is going to go back to business as usual once everybody starts to troop back in. And then, you know, traffic and all that stuff. In fact, we just heard, as usual, you know, our government is about to put us through a little bit of hardship because they'll be closing parts of the Third Mainland Bridge, which is a very major bridge, by the way, for repairs. So, you know, we're gearing up for another round of traffic and, you know, hours on the road for a few more weeks. But other than that, I think everything is cool, though, right? I mean, how was your wrapping up of 2023 like? Everybody just went on their own, just seemed to have their own solo hiatus. You guys were having fun, but yeah, anything interesting happened towards the end of the year?
Yeah, it was okay. I mean, I think for me it was more chill because I mean, we know what 2013 brought for us.
2023, back to the past.
We know what 2023 brought for us. You know, there was quite a number of chaos, you know, and all, especially, you know, I mean, reflecting back on our election, I mean, there was quite a number of, I mean, chaos, you know, I mean, or even on set here, we had our fair share of, what's it called?
Woto, back and forth.
I mean, it was an eventful year, and then we have the new government now. They've been showing us what, you know, I mean, the guys voted for. I mean, 2020. So, I mean, that last part,
you know, yeah,
it was more chill for me. Just, you know, to recoup, you know, for the new year and all. Yeah, that was.
So, if I was to ask you, like, what are your highlights for 2023? Like, just top two, top three highlights very quickly. What comes to your mind? Both ways.
The highlight bad was the election because he fractured, I mean, a lot of friendship and a lot of, you know, and all. I just feel like it's not something that people should take too seriously, you know, and all. Knowing that, the governments, they are the same across board. I mean, the east, west, north, south, wherever they are, and all, they are the same thing. They leave the people off and all. And it's the people that is not going to be abusing themselves and all. So, guys should chill, calm down, you know, and not take it too personal, you know, and then know that, you know, I mean, everybody wants the best for each of themselves and all. And at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. Good family, good community, good, you know, amenities and stuff like that, you know. No. Yeah, so for me, I think that's like the downside. The good side.
You shouldn't be thinking about the good side like this.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
What is going on?
It's a struggle to think about good side. Yeah.
I understand that 2023 came in quite fast, you know, so like, come on. You could pick something.
Yeah, I'm trying to. I'm trying to.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
This is Rufai. Rufai is seeing his brother. Rufai is seeing his cousin. They can't see anything good about the country. They can't find one good thing about the country.
Rufai is seeing his brother.
Voila. So, and I like to have you. Any highlight of the year? Anything structured? Good, bad, ugly? Whichever.
I mean, for me, 2023 came in quite fast. I would say I could have felt it being just 6 months instead of a year.
Mm.
It was very eventful. There were a lot of losses and there were, you know, a few gains. We chopped breakfast in some places, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm grateful for family. I'm grateful for health. I'm grateful for friends. We lost some. We gained some. I'm grateful for work progression, you know. Yeah. I'm grateful for the money that we got and then we finished. But yeah, we are starting the new year again, so we are trying to get it again, you know.
Trying to get your money off.
Yeah. And for December, it was great. I got to spend it with family and close friends, you know. But the highlight for December obviously was watching Tribe of Judah. I mean Tribe Called Judah, sorry.
Tribe Called Judah.
Yeah, that was a good closing for me because I love the movie. So yeah, to me that's one of my December highlights. Yeah, yeah.
But if I was going to say, like, isn't that meant to be like, I mean, like the norm? Like, if we say, I mean, what are the highlights? We know we always have family to spend it with. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, do we have to kind of amplify that?
Yeah.
I'm saying, I mean, I'm talking about our collective, like, you know, like the nation. Maybe I'm taking it too far. But I kind of understand what you're saying. But I mean, the family is always there.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah, I mean, there's
family is not always there. Oh. We're grateful we are still complete as we're moving on to 2024. You know, unfortunately, not everyone got to get to complete 2023 with their family. Yeah.
That's,
you know,
that's true.
So I'm grateful that they are still with me and we're strong and the relationship is stronger. So yeah,
but you know, me, I'm the philosopher. I like to philosophize. You know? What I'm trying to say is that the family is who you make of it or what you make of it. You know, because sometimes even your close knit might not necessarily be family.
Yeah.
So when you're defining family, I think I know what you're saying. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So the ones that are not there, maybe they are not so much family at that time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you would identify the ones that are family. You know, that can always. Yeah. So I mean, it's all good. You know. So I kind of, you know, I vibe with what you're saying when it comes to family and stuff. You know,
Another thing to it is that you know, when you live in the rat race. Like the rat race, like which is what we call the Lagos life, right?
Yeah.
For those of us that live in Lagos State, you realize that time flies by and you're just spending it trying to survive. Every day, every 24 hours is a wake-up call for you to stay alive. And you don't even have the chance to say you want to go pay visit your mom or your dad, especially when they're out of town, right? So, you know, after you had a long year of hustling and bustling, I think the opportunity to just go back home, spend a week or two, the family, reconnect, it could be a blessing and a highlight as well, to be honest, right? And let's talk about Tribe Called Judah, right? Because I know we saw that movie together. It for me, and I just heard that it's crossed the box office hit, the box office record of 1 billion naira, making it by far the most successful movie in the Nigerian box office. I was not surprised, and I'm also not surprised that it's achieved that aim in such a short time. I think about 4 weeks of release. That movie was probably the most complete Nollywood film that has. I don't want to be too I don't want to exaggerate, right? But say probably the most complete Nollywood film that I've ever seen, right? When you're talking about the scripting, you're talking about the storyline, you're talking about how the characters embodied the personalities of those characters. Every single character on that movie owned their role, and you could tell the different personalities from Timmy to, I mean, I'm sorry, Timmy is the only guy I know his name, and Funke Akindele. But there was this other guy, Olumide Owuru. I missed the surname up, but Olumide, you know, he was there, and then there were some other guys, you know, they were all fantastic, even down to the villains. And don't even get me started on the fight scenes. Like, you know how Nollywood movies are so cringe when they're trying to do fight scenes.
Yeah.
Like, they were shooting gun, and I mean, you won't even see anything like smoke, pockets of bullets coming out of the gun. But this one was mad. The costume was out of this world.
Yeah.
The sound effects, the fighting sequence in the movie, it had a mix of everything: comedy, thriller, action, even romance. and you know, a bit of, you know, sad melancholy beat to it as well. It was a perfect blend. I highly recommend. I mean, and this is not for those of you that are for me. There are some people who are for me. No, I don't watch Nigerian movies. For them, they feel like it's a title.
I think I was even part. I was even part of that bandwagon, right? Because first things first, this is actually the second movie I'm watching at the cinema. I mean, a Nollywood movie. Because typically, why would you want to go all the way to watch an Hollywood movie? You think about that. Like, that's the way I think, you know. I could literally just download it, and it's not like as if it's something I watch on a daily basis or as frequent as possible. But then, obviously, the first time I went to watch an Hollywood movie, I had no option than to watch it. That was just what was showing that day. And it was just fairly okay. It was supposed to be a comedy movie, but I don't know. I just, it was funny, I guess, a bit. But one thing, even when I go to the cinemas to watch even a Hollywood film, I still kind of fall asleep. Because someone like me, the reason why I like watching at home is because you get to pause. But there isn't any pausing at the cinema. And, you know, most movies are like 3 hours, 2.5 hours. That's quite long for me. Why don't I divide it? I like binge watching films, but I would rather divide it in two. You know, take a short nap or something like that. Even when I watch some series, like some Hollywood films, I always still sleep in the cinema. But I was surprised, like, as in, I was actually surprised. This is the first time ever I would actually go on my social media and be like, please, you guys, I highly recommend watch this film. Like, yeah. I haven't even done it for an Hollywood film. And guess what? Like, my best movie for 2023 should be probably Extraction, I guess. If that's the only thing that can come to my mind right now.
Extraction too, yeah, it was dope.
But like, the idea, like, I didn't go on my social media, I'm like, rally, oh no, this is crazy. Because first things first, like, the bar was quite low.
Yeah
for me, like,
and they exceeded expectations.
I'm like, okay, let's watch. I saw everyone coming, going to this. Okay, let's watch. And then watching it, I'm like, first things first, I don't think they advertise this as a comedy. But like, it is a comedy. And I think the reason why it was is because it's kind of shows you the dynamics, the intricate dynamics of Nigerian families, right? The way your siblings act, it's like, this was so natural. Like, they actually put a lot of knowledge into the storytelling, a lot of knowledge into the characters themselves. And the dialogue was top notch. There wasn't any just talking, and then it's useless talk. Like, this was like, it was part of it. I don't know how to explain it, but I loved it. Then goes the costume. Oh my God. Like, what do you mean? This was fly. Like, throughout the movie, you could literally have people screaming, laughing. That was the first time I'm ever having such an experience where you're in a cinema and then you have everybody laughing collectively so loudly. People are like, the chaos was there because we were watching the movie and we're enjoying it so much. Like,
I mean, at the end of the day, it's all the flowers and all the accolades goes to Funke Akindele and her crew. And for me, I'm really, really hoping. I know for the longest time, I've always been saying, I don't see any reason why we should be tripping ourselves for Hollywood movies at this time. The time has come for us to buy the Naira, like the way they say, support made in Nigeria stuff.
Yeah.
And I've always been waiting for Nollywood to take that step and, you know, just take over the scenes. The same way we have our Nigerian musicians, you know, the way they've taken over the airwave. Let's have Nollywood step up, put that quality stuff and collect all the money. All the money we spend going to go and watch Johnny Depp or whatever it is, Brad Pitt and all those guys. You know, let's put it here. Let's spend it here and you know, develop our own entertainment industry. And obviously, since the government will do it for us, you know.
Yeah, we have to do it.
Let these guys come together and just do it themselves. And obviously, they've seen clearly that the people are there to support them. Once they can match up with that quality and that level of excellence, you know, they will get their money.
One of the things I didn't like about Nollywood films was their sound. Like, the sound quality, the video quality and stuff like that. And to see that they delivered in every aspect. I mean, you should see the cinema at the end of the film. It was chaos. It was a lot of rallying. Funke Akindele did what she thought she did. She did well. And I'm so happy that it is evident in her breaking, you know, the box office and making such a huge impact. And I mean, a milestone that no one else has achieved. And that was actually well deserved.
Yeah, I think, what's it called? Funke Akindele has always, our film, you know, the what's it called? Production. Her film style, you know, is always tilted to, you know, comedic, you know, type yeah. of, you know, and all. Yeah, and I think she's perfected that, you know, that part of, you know, the creative, you know, output.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I'm just going to also amplify is 1 billion naira, big deal, you know, but in the real sense of it, I don't think that that's actually anything to celebrate, you know, because
Rush has come
Rush,
again.
Yeah, Rush has started.
You tell me.
Yeah,
you
has
tell.
Started.
Give us your pristine view.
Yeah. Because what I did was I converted it to dollars, you know, and what that came to is $1.1 million.
First.
Yeah, $1.1 million. You know, I mean, the Taraji P. Henson, you know, the issue that she's kind of battling with Hollywood.
Yeah.
Was that they gave her $150,000. You know, I think it was for Curious Case of Benjamin Button, really.
Mm.
I call myself the curious guy in Benjamin Button's case. Anyway, I mean, I can interpret that for anybody that wants to hear. Yeah, but I mean, the reason why I said that is there is still so much potential for us Nigerians to tap into. You know, don't forget that the movie is still, it's just showing in this side of the divide, maybe in the West. Not so much in the East,
yeah. You
know, maybe a little bit in the North. The North that I'm talking about, I'm talking of Abuja. That's the one that I know. Like people can.
When you say the West, what do you mean the West? The West of Nigeria, of West
Nigeria,
Africa,
Nigeria, West.
The movie is showing in Ghana
it's showing
today.
Everywhere, I'm showing in Ghana too.
Like there are Russians in Ghana.
They are
today.
Taking it to Ghana. I'm talking of Nigeria.
Okay.
I'm talking of us, kind of like, you know, enjoying the numbers that we have in Nigeria. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah, so for me, I'm not going to celebrate that. You know, good for Funke Akindele, but if you look at it, if you look at how many cars that boy buys, that may be like 4 Jeep.
That's how many cars $1 million buys?
Yes, one billion naira.
Yeah,
maybe like 4 Jeeps. That's what he buys. Yeah.
Okay.
So for me, I'm not. I mean, I expect more for her. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bottom line, that's what I'm saying, okay. And I expect that. You know, I mean, the effort that we put in this craft, you know, will get really rewarded.
Yeah.
Because if Funke Akindele makes more money, it only will trickle down, you know, to the cast, to the, what's it called, production crew and stuff and everything.
Okay.
And that is what you really call good economy.
Where
people can now have purchasing power and stuff like that. We have to always be looking at this thing from the big picture, really. Yeah. We don't just throw out numbers and everybody is going to be shaking. Oh, he's made money. By the time you break it down,
No doubt.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
no doubt. I mean, it's a step in the right direction because even though, as you said, 1 billion is not a lot, but the fact is, that's the highest that's been grossed so far.
Yeah.
So you have to celebrate that as a milestone.
Yeah, I mean, but however,
they can still push you forward. Yeah. And I can bet that she will probably double that figure that movie runs out.
That is actually where we need to be more hungry. You know, we don't settle. Because what that would mean is that Queen Kagelele will say, oh, I'm the big girl. I'm the one that we are talking of. Let it trickle down. Let it go across board. If this movie is showing in maybe like 60% of Nigeria, do you think that Queen Kagelele will need any, what's it called? She won't need any sponsor or anything because the movie will be making so much money for her that she'll just be looking for how to spend it. That's what I'm saying. So for me, I'm as much as I can congratulate her and stuff like that, you know, we need to be more hungry.
Yeah.
Hungry for more. That's what it is, really.
All right.
Because we have not even scratched the surface at all.
Yeah, we've not scratched the surface. So fantastic. Let's quickly touch 5 minutes on a big prediction for 2024. It's our first episode of the year 2024. And, you know, I just want to be a bit prophetic. I'm trying to be a Nostradamus at this point. And, you know, since you are the great philosopher and Anna here is the great seer, let's see which one of us is able to look into the magic crystal ball and predict correctly. And I'm not going to give you a chance to think. Right?
Yeah.
2 seconds. What are your two or three, whichever one comes to your head, big predictions for 2024? Cross across anything. Can be sports, political, you know, spiritual, church, anything.
For economical, I predict that the economy... we are going to face Shaggy.
See, I was telling someone this thing you said yesterday. Sorry to interrupt you. I was telling a group of friends this thing yesterday night. I said, this year, okay, they were coming from church program, Wafbeck, the one that is done by Pastor Koju. Yeah. And they were very excited. I told them, what are they excited about? Mm. They said, they received Kinikon and IT for the year. Okay. I said, well, you know, this year we're seeing Shaggy, right?
Yeah.
they said, God forbid, me, I'm not going to see any Shaggy. Mm. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Mm. I mean, they're really stressed about it. And I said, yeah, I get that. Like, individually, you know, everybody's praying that, you know, things work out fine for us. But among the signs are, the cloud is gathering, man. It's not looking like it's going to be a boiling year, to be honest, in general. Yeah.
So to me, yeah, truly, that's actually the way the atmosphere is right now. The climate is very, 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 shall I say, it's really, really crazy, really. We are trying our best, but it seems as if our best is not enough. So to me, I see the economy still looking a bit stressful for everyone. Even the ones that are rich, I mean, you go to the shop, I mean, to maybe say to this store right now, like ShopRite or Spar, there's a certain amount of money you use to fill that push trolley.
Yeah.
Yeah. And right now it's looking like even if you had that money, you may not be able to fill half of the trolley. So it's crazy because you need more. Some of us that we were working so hard, we thought, oh my God, I'm not in middle class. But it's seeming like as if we are back so far.
You have been demoted from middle class.
So even if we're making more, it's like the economy isn't cooperating with us. So yeah, to me, I feel like that's one of the most obvious things. I don't really want to go deep into it, but yeah. I see the financial aspect a bit, you know, stressful for we Nigerians. So mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that all? That's your only prediction?
For now, maybe Resh might give me inspiration.
All right, cool. Resh, what to you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take it. What's it called?
Different view.
A different view from what Anna said. And that's, I mean, that is not to say that, you know, I mean, it's not going to be tough financially for some people. You know, but I want to believe that, you know, if you keep your head up, you know, and you, I mean, try to do the right thing, you know, because it's very tough. Try to do the right thing, you know, and all. I'm sure you'll be rewarded for the good stuff that you do, really. So that's what I'm going to say, really, for anybody. Because, I mean, it is easy for... Let me not get into philosophy. So like, I'm going to go back to the prediction for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, don't say I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the American election for the year.
Okay.
And, I'm predicting that Trump will win the presidential election.
Ah.
I'm predicting that Trump will win the presidential election.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He's under a lot of searchlight, a lot of scrutiny now. I mean, they are removing him from the ballot on some states, Colorado.
Yeah, because how is he going to win if he looks like he's not going to contest?
Right?
Back there.
Oh, really?
No, he's actually still the one leading in all the primary, the Republican. Still the one leading over 50%.
Okay.
I know. So the only thing that would happen is if they remove him from from contesting. That's the only thing that would change it. Mm. But if he runs, he's going to win the election. That's my prediction for this year.
2024.
Yeah. But for Nigerians economically, I mean, I'm praying. Let me just pray. Let me not try and do what's I'm praying for you. You guys, don't worry, you will experience plenty, you know, in the midst of bad governance and ridiculous policies and stuff.
Yeah,
you guys will receive plenty and you'll be able to feed your family, you'll be able to get by, and you would have more, just like what happened to that lady.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the lady very soon. Yeah. The trending lady. Actually, so from my predictions, you took that one right out of my mouth, Resh, right? Because I was gonna talk about Donald Trump. I get the feeling that if he does get the ticket or if he's allowed to contest, I think he'll win. And I'm actually quite intrigued. I'm curious seeing how Donald Trump, you know, his second go round, you know, how it goes if he does win the election. My other predictions, I have a feeling like we're going to have another global pandemic this year for some weird reason.
Hmm.
I feel like there's going to be another outbreak. Of a disease that spreads globally, and
why does that make me cringe?
yeah, it's quite cringy. I don't know if it's going to be as debilitating as COVID in terms of the effect on the people. I don't know if it's gonna be as severe, but I just have that feeling like 2024 has another pandemic in it for us, and you know, we probably need to be better prepared while we handle it, because I think we handle it badly, COVID.
As a matter of fact, I mean, that is a possibility, you know, and we know where that starts from. It always starts from the head honcho. That's America.
Yeah.
You know, and if we can hold America down, trust me, the rest of the world will be held down. You know, but I think some guys are holding the line there.
Okay.
And they are telling the government, not on your life again. We are not going to
yeah.
go.
Yeah, we're not going to go that route.
Lockdown whatsoever. Yeah. Not on your life. And all. And I'm hoping that they'll keep, you know, the pressure on the government, and they will leave them alone. Because, you know, they wanted to do with the chicken pox,
yeah.
monkey pox.
Yeah, was it even monkey pox? It was another monkey one they pox. Said another came out last year.
As a matter of fact, some person, government person, I think it is in the US and all, was telling the whole community that they need to lock down. I mean, they need to start wearing masks.
Yeah.
No. It was the, I think it was the medical body of the government that told the lady, like, nah, it's not that bad. Let the people breathe, you know, and all. Yeah. So I mean, people are actually, I mean, on their alert now.
Yeah.
And they don't want to hear it. They are having none of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to go, really.
Yeah.
That's the
way to go. I agree. My other big prediction for 2024. Yeah, it's more of an international alliance as well. China. My spidey senses are tingling. I think this is the year that China finally moves in on Taiwan for some weird reason.
I think
this is the year that China finally moves in on Taiwan. And I don't think it's going to be as crazy as we've been thinking it will be, where we think the US is going to go AY on them and then there's going to be World War III or something. Nah, I think it's just going to be... Everybody's going to look back and allow China to do what they need to do and subdue Taiwan rather quickly. I mean, that's probably not what we want to see in terms of, you know, foreign diplomacy and, you know, in international
diplomacy. But that's the way it has always been.
Right? Yeah. But that's what's most likely looking like it's going to be. But I do hope I'm wrong on that one for the people of Taiwan, because I've always maintained that they have every right to maintain their sovereignty and to push for their own existence. And I think that Taiwan has done really well for itself, to be honest, in all these years. So yeah, those are my two big predictions for 2024. I'm going to open it up to my fantastic listeners. I'm going to give you guys a chance to also be great Nostradamuses. If you've got any major predictions for the year 2024 and you want to test out your prophetic skills, hit us up on WhatsApp. On 090-6279-6726. That's 090-6279-6726. You're gonna reach out to LA of Fonseca when you send out a message. Let us know your top three predictions for 2023. Sorry, for 2024. And I will be checking as the months go by. Anyone that gives a solid prediction that comes to pass on the junction, not only are we going to announce you, but you're going to be going home with a major prize. I'm not going to announce the prize now, but don't worry, it's going to be a good prize, a prize that is going to be worthy of, you know, of your efforts. So yeah, that's how we're going to do it. Drop us your predictions for 2024 on WhatsApp.
Sorry, do we in the studio?
No, you don't. You guys are staff.
I'm a guest. I'm not a staff. I'm a guest.
Like I said, she's a guest.
I'm a guest. No, yeah.
After many months.
Please, come on. Please.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys get honorable mentions. You guys get honorable mentions. Your own prediction was that we'll see Shaggy. I mean, come on. Why are you seeing Shaggy?
Yeah, but like Shaggy Pro Max.
Okay. What constitutes Pro Max Shaggy?
You don't want.
That is more than what. Telling us that we'll soon buy for 1-2. I don't know. They're only telling us that we'll soon see if we start buying for 1,200 per liter. Would that qualify for a Shaggy Pro Max?
Okay, I predict that one of us here is gonna buy a car. A new car.
You predict that one of us here brand new car.
Yeah.
I love that kind of prediction. well, that would be a very good thing in these times. In these climes.
Yeah.
You understand?
Brand new.
Yeah.
That's a good prediction.
There's nothing God cannot do. There's absolutely nothing God cannot do. NSVPD does not exist.
Yes.
Guys, we need to go on a short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hi there, beautiful people. It is your host, LA, and I do hope you're enjoying this episode. We would love to feel your pulse as we discuss trending topics. Connect with us on Twitter at FUNTAQA, that is Funtaka. We're also on Facebook, and that is FUNTAQA, Funtaka. Leave us a comment, give a like, follow us. We are dying to hear from you. Now, let's get back to the concluding part of this episode. Ciao! Welcome back to the second part of the episode. Guys, this year has started on a fantastic note for a particular woman in particular. I mean, some people are even saying that wherever she did a crossover service entering 2024, they would like to actually know the name of the church so they can also go there. So that as they are entering 2025, their own name will be the first for miracles. A particular lady on X, formerly Twitter, with the handle Mom Z, at Debbie OA, she has become the toast of the internet, literally. All across Nigeria. In fact, her story has gone so viral that even Twitter users in America have started talking about what has happened to her. So, this was essentially what happened. A user on X, Miss Madisha, made a tweet where she said, "There's a lady that wakes up at 5 a.m. to make her husband lunch for work," with a crying emoji beside it. Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody had their opinions about that tweet and, you know, made their comments good or bad. Then Mom Z, that's at Debbie OA, replied to that tweet and said, "I have always been lazy. I have always been too lazy to wake up and get his lunch ready. But the day he told me a colleague brought two spoons so he'll hit with her, was the day I set my alarm for 4:50 a.m. That was supposed to be a harmless response, right? You know how people just randomly comment stuff on Twitter and move on? Only did she know that that simple response was going to culminate into her receiving over 5 million in contributions, crowdfunding, and gifts from major brands like Infinix, NNPC, I can't even name it now. So Kuda, many brands.
Kuda
Bank, which was the bank account she dropped. Because people were like, "Oh, you're such a lovely lady. You realized that there was room for threats to your marriage and you stepped in and plugged the hole. Why would a colleague be bringing two spoons for your husband to eat? Madam, you did the right thing by waking up early to cook for your husband. No room for the devil to enter your marriage." I mean, the feminists were already like, "Madam, for no reason should you even suffer yourself because of any man who is a grown adult and wants to be begging for food in the office," you know? And that was narration at first, until a few people were like, "You know, I credit you for realizing that that was an avenue that could make your husband develop unnecessary attachment to your colleague outside work. And you stepped in and did the right thing by making sure his food was served already in the morning." And from people commending her, it went to people saying, "You know what? Just because you're such a good lady, give me your account number. Let me send something to you. Let me send something to you, thumbs to. Let me send this to you. Let me send that to you." Now she has flat screen TV. She's changed her wardrobe, her TV. In fact, people have even promised her a whole new apartment because she's going to be moving out of that place very soon. People have promised her jobs because her husband, she said her husband was a teacher. So someone is saying, "You know what?
She has a job."
They've given her a job. Some people have said they will sponsor the guy to learn coding and all that as a husband. Tenny the Entertainer sent her money.
I think some other people gave them computer.
Yeah.
And they gave them 1 year. I mean, they gave them 1 year subscription.
Yeah, I mean, there's no limit.
Internet subscription.
There's no limit to all the gifts.
Yeah.
And cash contributions that she's received.
I think she must be. What's it called? She must have reached 10 million now.
Possibly. Possibly.
Possibly.
Because at a point she was like, oh no, this is too much. She took out her account number from the internet. Other people started pasting the account number. She pasted that. Listen, this is your account number.
Yeah.
Continue contributing. And I mean, for me, this is where it's a bit of a conversation because Aisha Yusufu comes up, right, and starts putting up some interesting, funny tweets that makes it seem like she isn't really cool with everybody appreciating this woman for doing what she's done, making the insinuation that just because you've done, or in fact, I don't even understand at this point, but the point is she doesn't believe that an adult requires somebody else making food for him, and then everybody's making a big deal because someone is making food for someone that should be able to take care of himself, and then we're all blowing into proportion like as if she's the best thing since Mother Mary. Mary, Mother of Jesus. And it's like people are like very quick to shut her down, like, madam, go away with your feminist bad belly hating kidding. Yeah, we are all here trying to promote, you know, the right kind of behaviors amongst wives and you know, women that understand their place in their marriage. What is your view on all of this? I mean, and there are two sides to the coins regarding this story, right? One side that says, why should the woman have to wake up at 5 a.m in the morning to cook for her husband simply because the husband has long throat and getting tempted by somebody that is bringing food in the office? I mean, how on earth is that even something that we should be applauding the woman for? I mean, because the man himself is not a serious man, right? And you have other people who are saying that, listen, marriage is not on social media. Marriage is real life. You have a man as your husband who, because of the fact that for some reason goes to work without having his lunch packed, there's somebody who's offering to share her food with him because she's a, you know, good Samaritan. And then the wife is folding her hands and looking at that. Meanwhile, a potential crack in the marriage can be opening up and foreigners becoming a third wheel in her marriage. And people are saying she has done the wise thing by stepping in and avoiding such complications in a marriage. Where do you guys stand in this divide? Or let me just say simply, what's your opinion? What's your point of view about, you know, who's right or who's wrong? Or, you know, what perspective makes sense in this angle? One thing is for sure, she's a lucky woman. Whether we agree with her or not, she has been blessed by this incident. So nothing we say here will change anything about that. But from a philosophical standpoint, you know, and a theoretical angle, does any of this make any sense?
I think Ray should go first.
It's opinion edition. So, okay, let me go. I think if we look at it from... Because I saw the tweets. Like, I think when the tweet started to kind of, you know... Because, you know, the impression when people read it a lot, people kind of view it a lot and all, start to go into what's it called, start to pop up in your own area, like that.
Yeah,
what is, you know, that's how I saw it, really. I was like, okay, cool, you know. She was like, and then she answered because somebody said, now wow, you actually have to protect your own stuff. The lady now said that husband, we are just married, stuff like that, you know. And I think it speaks to their openness, their marriage, you know. They are modest, you know, it's not like they're affording and all. And the lady is very open, you know, with, you know, how it's going. I think she said stuff like she's never seen 500,000 naira.
Oh, really?
As a whole together before.
Damn.
You know, and everything that the lady, what's it called, depicts, if you're looking at it from, you know, just a bystander, you know, you see that there is sincerity in her.
Mm.
And I don't think anybody should have any problem with that. I saw Juanya, this feminist, what's it called? That those feminist, what's it called? Campaigners and stuff. You know, she was very nasty. She said, like, you know, the husband is not even fine. Da da da. Mm. That's what she's doing. Da da da. And all and everything. The question is, what does that matter, really?
Yeah.
Is that your problem? You know, if you want to be a feminist, be feminist, for crying out loud. You know, but this lady is saying, like, you know, I mean, I'm sure that the husband actually was saying that in a very friendly way.
Mm.
You know, to the wife,
like, yeah, do you get, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
What, ah man, thank God though. Say, nah, Nkechi give me spoon, say make I chop, you know, like when I go to work,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah. Nkechi, what Nkechi is that? Okay, you know, and then she kind of like just, you know, firm up in her own side, you know, and I mean, it's working out for them, really. If she decides she wants to cook for her husband at 4:30 a.m., so be it. You know, I know some people may not be able to do that. Some people that have work upward mobile, you know, and they work 9 to 5 and all, you know, they have to wake up early. They have to work. Maybe, for instance, I work in Lagos. You have to be on the island and stuff. Mm-hmm. My wife is also a professional. You have to travel and all. You guys can figure it out amongst yourselves. Nobody should come and start superimposing. This is the way your marriage or your situation should be,
yeah,
and stuff like that. You know, do you guys love yourself? You know, do you vibe with yourself and all? You can always figure it out. You know, do you want to order out, you know, stuff like that and all? That is going to be something that the two individuals will have to do.
Yeah.
You know, you don't superimpose your own situation because you are a feminist that can't get any, you know? And then you now, what is it called? Pattern it and say, this is the way it has to be, you know, and stuff like that, really. And that's not the way it has to be. Really, you know, and that goes to show that good, what's it called, virtue gets rewarded. And that's what the lady got. You know? I mean, everything that I saw from the lady, you know, was virtue. I saw good virtue in her, you know, and all. And you could even see when they were giving her the gift, you know, she was like, what am I going to do with this? You know, at some point she was rejecting, what's it called, some of the gifts. You know, said that it's enough. I was people that was telling her, like, are you serious? Are you serious? We are going to give you more. We are going to give you more.
Yeah.
You know, and all. And I think, I mean, that speaks more. And that's what I was saying with, you see, when you live a modest life, you know, and you're not willing to cut corners, you know, you want to, you know, I mean, be that model, you know, and all. And I think this lady should be like an ambassador for Nigeria, you know, because that is what everybody is looking for. Somebody that can be content with what they have. She could, I mean, she was even showing the pictures of her house. You see, she lives in a face me and face you. And all.
Yeah.
And she was okay with it. She was okay, you know, and all. So far, so good. She has, I mean, over 100,000 followers now. At the time that she posted
really?
That stuff, yeah. At the time that she posted that stuff, she has maybe like 15,000.
Yeah, followers. She was at 32,000 followers, yeah, when I checked.
She has over 100,000 followers now. Going on, yeah, like that.
That's crazy,
you know? And people are telling her, like, you know, now monetize your, you know, handle, you know, so that even Facebook is
Twitter revenue, you can earn from that,
can start making money from Twitter revenue and
I think someone wants to give her Twitter blue, or they want to ever process that,
she can all do that on her own. $8 I mean, for the rest of the year, just pay for it, you know, and all. Mm-hmm. I mean, the impression that she has now is enough for her to get money paid into her account and all. So for me, I think that is what, I mean, it's all about. So all those sad feminist and all those guys that
The feminists are forming in mind, yeah, your mouth, I mean, though. Like, no joke, like they're coming up really aggressive, exactly, about the shit. Like,
that's your cup of coffee, that's your cup of coffee.
They're not pushing it to, like,
you saw, I mean,
sarcasm and being like, let's push out to 100 million since all of you want to be foolish,
you know. And I think it was one that was said he was a sad feminist. I didn't even know why she coined her. Yes, it was a sad feminist. She was just going on and on and on. And by the time you look at it, by the time you start to look at it, what's it called, with a second eye, you realize that there is something mentally wrong with some of those feminists. It's a mental. It's a mental. No. There's something that is mentally wrong.
It's almost misandrist at this point. It's not even feminism anymore.
So for me, I think, if that is what rocks Ms. Deb's boat, I mean, so be it. She's not saying that that should be the standard for anybody. She's just saying, I love my husband so much that I'm going to risk waking up at 4:30 and I make
his meal. But I mean, and so that's the question for me, like, how do we even interpret what is love is? For, like you said, for someone like Deb, right, our own way of showing love to her husband is, I wake up at 4:30 a.m. to be able to cook for him, to pack his lunch, right? Some other woman would say that as slavery, like suffering. Like, I love you, yeah, but why do you expect me to wake up by 4? Like, my normal waking up time is even 8 a.m. Like, if you love me, you wouldn't expect me to wake up by 4 o'clock to make food for you, right? And then the husband can probably look at that and be like, well, I kind of expect you to do that because you're my wife. And that creates a friction in the home, right? Because obviously, the love is expressed in different ways. You understand? And I think that's why the feminists struggle a lot to understand that women can actually love their men by doing those things that to maybe sacrificial to them or be just normal to them, either ways, right? And you don't necessarily have to paint the coloration of slavery and subjugation, you know, to explain that a woman can want to do that
for
her husband, right? And it seems like there's no way you explain that they understand. Yeah, like, exactly. For them, it's just the idea that you do anything that pushes them out of their comfort zone for someone. It's like you are pushing them, you know, into a tunnel, and you are forcing them into something that you know makes them feel less of themselves. I'm like, it's never really that deep.
Nobody fights you. Nobody fights you.
Okay, yeah. So I just wanted to add my 2 cents. Firstly, I just wanted to, should I say, remind us of what feminism is, in a sense that it stands for our right as women to be able to choose. Okay. We came from a time where we were oppressed and we were forced to make certain decisions, and we didn't have equal opportunities even till now in some areas. When it comes to feminism, the right to choose, whatever choice a lady wants to have should be supported. A lady can choose to be traditional, and a lady can choose to be, you know, a modern day fine woman. Do you understand? If the way the lady came in, to me, I don't really have any sides per se to me when it comes to this story, because I don't feel like there should be sides. So when it comes to this lady, she said, her husband started sharing, you know,
sharing.
Someone
there was an offer.
Okay, so it was an offer. Okay, yeah. So it was an offer from someone, and then she opted to, you know, get to make food at 4:30 or something. First things first, I know that if you feel like, okay, as you said earlier on, when it comes to a relationship, there should be communication. Okay, if someone is this person that loves home cooked meals and, you know, loves this particular act of service, you should be down to make such act of service, as long as it is not something that you're forced to do. You made the choice to do it. Okay, you say, oh, okay, I this is a way to express, you know, my love to this person. Okay, this person likes meals. Okay, let me make the meal. It might not be as uncomfortable. I mean, it might not be as comfortable. As you said, some people did naturally like cooking, while some, it would most likely be a sacrifice for them to do said activity. But the thing is, when it becomes annoying is when the person you're doing it for doesn't appreciate it, or makes it seem like as if, oh, this is your duty. You must do it. If you don't do it, then you're less of a woman. Do you understand? That is when it's an issue. But if someone says, oh, okay, I want to do this for my, I don't see anyone, whether you're a feminist or whatnot, this is not the conversation to have. Do you understand? This is not where you're supposed to be. Because she didn't say, oh, at the end of her tweets, ladies, oh, please, you must always, you know, you must always cook for your husband or something like that. The truth about the matter is, I look at it from also maybe the angle there also coming from the feminists in quotes, because to me, I feel like, when somebody starts talking about women's rights, even though they they spew rubbish. They give themselves the name tag already. Okay, say for instance, she I'm not saying, because I know the angle they are coming from, because when you say, oh, okay, my husband, his eyes are starting to, you know, sway outside, he will start hanging out with this female all in the name of eating, then from eating it becomes I forgot one spoon, because I saw some people make such a tweet, I forgot one spoon, let's share a spoon, and then there's closeness, and you know, everybody knows that one of the major areas affairs are made at the workplace, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously you cannot provide solutions to every of such things. You can't be the one guarding your husband's eyes 24/7. And I think someone mentioned that she may be pregnant or something. I don't even know. So if she is pregnant, you know, it's a lot of work for her to wake up that early in the morning. Like, it is a whole lot of sacrifice. And as long as a man appreciates that sacrifice and she's ready to do, she's not being forceful about it, then that is fine. And in the sense that, okay, well, let me just take a retract a bit. When it comes to, if for instance, I know someone also made that point, if the husband says, oh, I want to be doing, you know, doing this do every time, well, you are not in the position to do it, what will you do? Do you understand? Especially now that you're pregnant. You can't have solutions. You can't be the one guarding your husband's eyes. But there are some certain things you still want to do to just make sure your husband doesn't look outside. And that's based on being realistic. We're not supposed to be the one, you know, I mean, guarding our husbands, make sure, oh my God, don't look outside, you know, don't look at another female. But there are some certain things that you just want to do for who you love. Do you understand? And to me, I just feel, hey, what's up? If your husband wants this, then let the person, you know, let the person do what they feel is good. The lady feels like her cooking a meal for her husband would be great. And it should help not to even create the avenue in the first instance.
Mm.
Then that is okay. If someone wakes up today now as a lady, and then there's this guy that if I step outside of the house, the guy just wants to shower me with like money anyhow. Do you understand? And then my husband realizes that there's this person that is just showering him money. Me, as it's going like this, so you have to shower me with billions so that the 20,000 that somebody is dashing me will not really, you know, touch me like that. Anyway, that's just silly.
I was going to ask you, what if he doesn't have the billion to shower you?
I'm just on a lighter note, I'm just joking. But yeah. In a way, it's kind of, it's a way that, obviously, see, if you're in a relationship and you have someone that you're in a relationship with a guy, for instance, and this guy is always showering you with stuff, guess what? You're not going to look outside and you're not going to get moved by someone.
But that
outside,
is that what should get the person moved?
No. You don't get what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to go back to this whole conversation. So what I'm saying is that growing up, for instance, when in my parents' house, my mom would wake up in the morning and cook for everybody. And then when she does the cooking, even though we don't really have so much, she makes sure she gives us snacks, she makes sure she gives us everything, then she'll maybe give us some amount of money, right? And she will do that because she doesn't want us to look outside and see another child's plate and be like covetous and feeling like, oh, my mom didn't get me this or my mom didn't get me that. You know, obviously some people will come and beg from you and be like, but you don't, she doesn't want, she's trying to protect us from begging and maybe eating something we're not supposed to eat, right? So she does that just to make sure we don't have our eyes looking outside.
Can I tell you one
Yeah.
Truth? Can I tell you one truth?
What's that?
Your mom is doing a heck of a lot.
Yes, that's like, what I'm saying.
For you.
Yeah.
But guess what? Mm-hmm. Some people cannot afford to do that.
I know. Yeah. I know for a fact that some people can afford to do that. And but I'm just trying to say that she made, yeah. So I'm trying to make that she made an effort.
Yeah.
Even though we are not supposed to, we've been given the instruction not to look out, right? Yeah. Not to be covetous. But she still kind of made an effort for us not to have the excuse to do that.
Yeah.
Which is what I feel like the lady was trying to do. It's not like as if what she does, because there are some people that they will still have full plate of rice. Their parents will still give them 10 caprizone with this, and they will still come and start begging from you. They are just naturally covetous in itself. Do you understand?
Yeah, yeah.
But like my mom just tried to make the effort again. Like, okay, nobody is saying that what she did. If the husband still wants to go and share, even with their plates, he can still go out with that plate that she just made for him and share it with the co-worker and share the food. Like, yeah. you making the food would not change anything, whether or not. Do you understand? But I'm just saying, it's just the effort. She's trying to block holes and not making sure, like, I mean, it's not her duty 100%, but she's just, you know, aiding the situation so that it's not like, and you don't have an excuse, really. Like, the husband doesn't have an excuse at this point, really. And to me, relationships, they are easy to write down on paper, but the truth about it is, in practicality, there are so many things that, there are so many compromises you're going to make. You're going to see it as, oh, I would never do this for a man. You find yourself doing some things for a man, or you find yourself, even a man, doing some things for ladies that they feel like they would never do. Because the truth is, it is different. You go into realism. You look at it and you see there are some places you have to compromise. And there are some places that, please and please, just appreciate your partner. That's literally it, really. Just appreciate your partner. And to me, this lady has just made open doors, not just for her, but for a man as well. And it's great. It's really great. Feminism, I feel like, I'm a feminist. I feel like this is not actually the battle to fight, really. This is
bottom line. Bottom line. And this I think you've arrived where all of us are going to learn. Let me read what Ujuwanya, I mean the supposed professor. Let me read it for you. Let me read what she said. Quote. She said, "Madam, you went on the internet to say you start waking up at 4 a.m. to cook lunch for your husband because you fear long throat will drive him to begging and effing his co-workers for food. Say worry about your insecurity and dependence on a man you don't trust, not who I'm with." Like, I mean, where is the grace in what she wrote? You know, and that's where you see that these guys, they are cuckoo, like cuckoo.
Something. No, but she do got a point.
No, they have a push. They have a point. See.
But that a point, but it's coming from an angle that is just too, it's just too venomous.
This point, venomous is the right word. Venomous is the right word.
Now, this point that she has, there are some, you see, and that's the thing, you know. See, I mean, two things can be right at the same time, you know. There are some times when you just need to let it lay, I mean, to let it go, like, just let it lie, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it called? And just go. Do you get? I mean, this kind of, I mean, I'm talking of, I mean, what's it called? Professor. But I mean, and these guys are the ones that water down education. These guys are the ones that water down education. I know there was a guy that, I mean, Candace Owens was talking to, you know, about when he came to all these Black lives and stuff like that and all. The guy was a professor too. No, you know? And the question that I'm always asking is like, so where is your research, you know, instinct? Where is it? You know, because you are supposed to constantly be thinking, like, you know, how can things be better? You know, how can things, you know, how can we look at it from different angles and stuff and all?
Yeah.
So that you can have a balanced view. Do you get? But you have a PhD, you're supposed to have done a lot of, you know, research, lots of theses, you know, and all that you've submitted and stuff like that and all. And you cannot reason, you cannot do critical thinking.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, you know, and all that. So for me, this, I mean, type of tweets, you would see the shallowness, you know, and then you ask yourself, and that's what happened with the Harvard lady. That, what's it called? That gay lady.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, and they said she couldn't write, he plagiarized everything that she wrote and stuff and everything, you know. And that's the thing. You see, when you go to school and the school doesn't go through you, that is what happens, you know, and all. And I feel that there are some situations that should just let it go. Just leave it alone.
If the lady had actually said that, the guy said, oh, if you don't cook for me,
Do you think that this guy would get anything?
That is when I'll be like,
exactly.
Hello. So exactly. What are you? Do you understand? So, yeah. it all boils down to what the husband said and how he said.
But this
now
one,
if that's not the scenario here, you just happen to notice that, hey,
there's a room here for something to happen.
Yeah, well, maybe
me, I would not create that. I won't even let you have that. Why?
Do you know the funny thing?
If it's something I can do, if I wake up by 5:30 and I feel like, oh, you need your food, you leave the house by 5:30. If it means I have to wake up 30 minutes earlier, I don't think it's an issue. Now, if the lady is pregnant as she is right now, she's making a lot of sacrifice. The thing that the husband should be doing right now is fully appreciate her.
But do you know the truth of the matter?
The more sacrifice she's
The truth of the matter is that
the husband doesn't even know anything. The guy just came home and said, ah, you know what? I mean,
yeah, it was like a gist.
I was really hungry, you know, and it was this lady that just gave me a spoon. That lady really was like the one that carried it on her head. Like, nah, that's not going to happen. I'm going to wake up.
I mean, that if she had, no, she, way, the way she tweeted it is as if she has started cooking.
No, yeah, she has
started. Which
is
why I'm saying that when the, she started, obviously, I'm expecting the husband to always appreciate
no,
each
but,
day.
But of course, I'm sure they have.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have their camaraderie. They have their understanding.
Because when Infinix offered to give her a phone, she was like, can you help me get another one for my husband too?
Exactly. No, she loves her husband based on her prior
to and they got the two. And they got the two phones for them.
You know the truth of the matter is that there was something that she said. And if you follow her, what's it called, her tweets, if you go back, I mean, she's going to have a lot of tweets now. If you go back to, when was it called, her gist, she said, they met in the university, that some of the best time that she had with that relationship was when they would just take a stroll. They don't go to any restaurant. Mm-hmm. They just stroll and they would have bully. They would do, I mean, stuff. You will see humility at its peak.
Yeah.
And you see, and that's the thing. I mean, what we're talking about, you know, I mean, projecting into the air and prophesying and stuff, and was it called predicting stuff and all.
Yeah.
That is what we're talking about. When you stick with the program, when you stick with your own belief system, and you see, I mean, what's it called? You know, Lulu Akumina, the head honcho, Prima Gane to Gilvi, you know, I mean, he's a pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church. I respect the heck out of him, you know, because he's a pastor, you know, and he's the head of, you know, an advertising. As a matter of fact, he was the president of APCON, you know, advertising practitioners, better than all. He's the man. Talking about how he grew, you know, and how he started the musical Prima Gane to Gilvi Africa, you know, and all. And he was talking about how he held their integrity down, you know. And one of the things that they said was that they were not going to cheat their way through their business. You know, anybody comes and say they want to bribe or stuff, they're not, it's none of that at all. You get. And he got some of the biggest business. As a matter of fact, he said they are the first advertising agency in Nigeria that went on CNN. To advertise, it was a Crystal Bank, and all, you know, and that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that for every good virtue, there is a reward. It may not come immediately, it may not come at the time that you want it. And you know that this girl has talked about how they were dating when nobody was seeing them and they were eating bully. And then she also said it, like she had never seen 500,000 a hole in her bank account and all. She said it, she wasn't, what's it called, she wasn't shy about it. She wasn't, she didn't have any complex about it. She was just saying that this is the way I live. This is the way my life is and stuff. And then she got rewarded. And that is the thing. That is the model that we are talking about, where, you know, you stick with the program. You stick with what you know. You stick with what you've known how to do and all, and continue at it. And then you get your reward. All this feminist nuisance that are now coming and trying to kind of, you know, their own,
2 minutes of fame
and stuff like that. That's not the time. It's not the time at all. You know?
I feel like every couple should just have an agreement, really. How you want to navigate your relationship that works best for you.
Yeah.
If you want to say, oh, full, should I say, money generation should be on this person, you do the housekeeping. Make sure, even if it becomes a regular routine, each person keeps appreciating each person's effort day by day. That is simple. If someone says, oh, we want to split it half and half, oh, I'm not a cooking person, or don't let it that you want to force me to be a cooking person. If you say, oh, okay, fine, once in a blue moon, I'm going to spoil you. Oh, great, let's do that. Do you understand? It's all based on what you do in your relationship. Don't let your own agreement, how you can navigate your relationship, don't enforce it or force it on every other person. Relationships are different. Do you understand? As long as nobody is being oppressed in the relationship, as long as nobody is being forced to make such decisions in the relationship, it is great. Now, she isn't coming out to say, oh, this is the way women should act. That wasn't what she's saying. So I don't see where the platform is. Why feminists are making it such a big deal. She's not doing that.
Do you get?
She's not saying, oh, every lady, you are to wake up in the morning and cook for your... Nah. If you can't do it, do it. I was grateful that my mom could wake up early in the morning and cook for me. That doesn't mean me I have the strength to. Yeah, but like, I mean, I appreciate it. So
but
if you're that person,
but you know,
that
but you know, the, but you know, the, what would make, what's it called, for a good, yeah, what's it called, understanding between you and the person that you're dealing with, when you guys will sit down, you guys will be very sincere with yourself.
Yeah,
and
your strengths, your weaknesses.
These are the things that you know and all and everything. And you put your cards on the table.
How this can we navigate
Yeah, how can we get
where can we make some stuff, compromises? You know? Yeah, how can we work together? That's teamwork.
So all this, if you go and stay behind or sit on one person's, one feminist tweet, and you're retweeting, you're thinking, we're fighting for a right, No.
Yeah.
You're just deceiving yourself.
I don't even get where the sad feminist comes from, the good feminist, the wrong feminist. Like, where did all these terminologies come from? We've completely just bastardized the word feminism.
Yeah. But
that's to the point that when someone hears that, oh, I'm a feminist, they start looking at you like a walking red flag.
It's not supposed to be. That is what Chimamanda said now. Like, hey, yo, guys, no, I'm not part of this guy.
she quietly excused herself from the group.
I stand with the values that the core feminism is. I can't stay outside and say, hey, I'm a feminist. Because now, maybe someone starts looking at me funny.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Because they're expecting some things.
Because feminism now has been mistaken for anti-men. That's misandry, actually. Misandry is when you are like anti-men.
Yeah.
But the feminist guys, they've pushed it so much that, you know, it's crossed border lines and it's now almost crossing into...
I'm surprised they are not inherently feminist.
Yeah, they have no idea what feminism
is. They're just launching an attack.
Yeah, just
want
to attack men.
They are not there to, you know... Because now you're looking at this now and I'm sure it's peppering some people as this lady keeps getting...
Like,
my
serious peppering. Like...
It is crazy.
Aisha Yesufa has been going back and forth. People, Mochivius has been going back and forth.
No, but they, people, they told Aisha.
Sandra, Ezekwesili, she's been going
Aisha
back and forth.
Yeah.
Yes, she's now, even to this very moment, she's still playing people on the OT.
She's talking rubbish. She's just talking
rubbish. I mean, what? She's not backing down.
Sometimes I also feel like...
I mean, she's turned the OT to slavery, subjugation of women, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like... How do you even relate subjugation of women and all that?
I actually understand that some of the supporters, though, some of the ones that are so, you know, so very
they're pushing the narrative.
They have a separate narrative they are pushing, which I do not agree with.
Yeah, I agree.
But just the fact that I'm grateful, whether you wish her, you have a good understanding or not, this lady is just being blessed, whether you like it or not. That's the good thing right now.
Yeah.
But number two is, I don't care what your ideology. Everybody stands where they are, as long as you're not forcing any lady to act in a certain manner or you're preaching that this is the way ladies should act, you're good, you're fine. God bless you. And your own,
I mean, and the myth that women have always been like subjugated, you know, and stuff like that, and all, you know, I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying it because we need to wrap up.
So let's not open up a can of worms.
No.
Black guy is about to drag.
I'm not buying it because when we look at how civilization came to be, and women have always been like the major decision makers. When it comes down to it, when they have their husband's ears. When it comes down to it, women have always been the major, decision makers.
How many women had their husbands years back in the day?
So, bottom line, what I'm just trying to say is that. It is not completely accurate information to say that women have always been subjugated. It is actually women that cause war. That will tell their husband, you know what? Why are you accepting for that king? Go and carry your.
That's just a handful of women that have that kind of influence. Like 0.1% of women in the past have that kind of influence.
That is still women.
You're not gonna say
it's not representative of the population.
Exactly. You can't say when 99% of women are being oppressed, then they weren't oppressed. You're most likely going to say black people weren't even in slavery in the first place because maybe there was a 2% black people that actually had black slaves.
That's part of the reason why I felt that that Ujuanya was a cuckoo head. Because don't forget that she talked, what's it called? She attacked the queen when the queen died and all. She was talking about slavery.
Yeah.
And the analogy that she made was still senseless as usual. You know,
And so for me, it's just something that we can leave. We can leave to fight another
day. Yeah, I think we can
leave. It will be a 1 hour topic.
Yeah, we can shake on this.
I stand on the opposite end of that.
All right. I mean, that's a different topic entirely, but in the matter of Mommy Z, aka Debbie, you know, listen, that's how interesting life is. And I feel like this year we're gonna have a lot of that. People moving from obscurity to like insane fame overnight. You just being casually doing your thing, and then you're launched into the limelight and your life changes, you know, forever. I mean, I think her life has changed forever. Look at where she was living. Their lives. They lived in the face me, I face you. You know, the walls were peeling. Everything about that house was giving poverty. But you know, after this whole incident, they're moving to a new apartment. You know, there are people I'm thinking about getting a car, cars, because she has a baby coming on.
And they are not lazy guys.
You know,
they
work, and
it's cool.
Yeah, you know, so
educate themselves for that.
All the best to her and her husband and her family. From us at the junction.
Why is it from us at the junction? I thought we're going to what's it called? Mention Cat Williams. I didn't want us to leave Cat Williams alone. I thought we were going to mention Cat Williams. Maybe we have 5 minutes of Cat Williams
before. All right. Yeah. Okay, let's
really Cat Williams. I don't know, why are you already noticing?
Cat Williams is staring forth for 2024. I feel like there is still more to come.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
No, 5 minutes isn't enough for Cat.
Cat, that 5 minutes is not enough for Cat. You know?
No, let's cover it next week. I'm very much sure there are still more celebrities coming out.
Yeah.
A lot of them have actually come.
They're still gonna be.
Yeah, I mean, just a little bit of an interview. Yeah. I mean, sorry, introduction to the Cat Williams gist for those, because Rush has brought it up, right? Cat Williams, yeah, the popular stand-up comedian from back in the day, right? Did an interview with Shannon Sharp on his podcast, and it just seemed like my guy was angry with the world, right? And he's just throwing the tea on everybody, from Ludacris to Kevin Hart to Steve. What's that guy's
name?
Steve Harvey, you know, to Cedric the Entertainer, to Ludacris. And it's like he has something to say about everybody. And I think the theme of his general story is, when you look at Hollywood, it's not what you see.
Hollywood is compromised.
Yeah, what you see is exactly what you get. Don't forget that. So much going on the ground.
Don't forget that Monique was blackballed.
Yeah.
Monique was blackballed. And Monique was always trying to get her voice out. I remember one interview that she did on Steve Harvey's show and all.
Yeah.
And I could see Steve Harvey was just trying to tell her, like, you know, Monique, you need to stop talking.
Yeah, because she was agitated the way she went about it.
She was trying to get her voice out and all.
It's hard for people to take it seriously when you appear like an irritant. Right?
Yeah.
Monique appeared like an irritant.
But guess what?
If she had a good way of delivering a message,
the good way that you were talking was that they were not giving them the platform to talk. The thing. They were not giving them the platform to talk.
First.
And that's the thing. I mean, do you know Cat Williams? Have you seen Cat Williams?
Yeah.
If you are not somebody that is, what is it called, into entertainment, and you are really looking for the real ones, you won't know Cat Williams. Because Cat Williams, Hollywood does not put them on the platform.
Yeah, they definitely blacklisted Cat Williams.
Because he was blackballed again as well. And all.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you are the one that is the real OG, they don't want to have anything to do with you. One of the things that Cat Williams said I was going to highlight, you know, because I didn't want it to go.
Yeah.
He said something that was very, 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 very instructive.
Mm-hmm.
He said there was a movie that they brought to him, and they said, what's it called? They were going to insert a black man getting raped in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he asked them, he was like, are you talking about comedy? Like, are you still saying comedy? Why do we have to put it there? Why do we have to sell this
There's
idea?
There's nothing funny about rape.
So why do we... No, nothing funny about rape, more so of a black man getting raped
by another black man.
So why do you want to put it there, really? And he told them, he said, if this is the narrative that I'm going to sell, I'm not going to be a part of it. And they moved away from him. I know that's what he said. He rejected like $450 million deal.
50 or 15?
50 million.
15. Okay.
50 million deal.
50. Wow, that's a lot,
you know. I know. He's like, so for me, like Analika said, there is so much to talk about when it comes to this Cat Williams.
Yeah.
may not be.
I think the story is coming together, to be honest, because we still have PDD on the side.
Yeah.
His own.
He was talking a lot about PDD.
His own skeleton is ready. No, PDD, that will soon come out.
It's another Kelly.
Yeah. His own story is brewing. Then there's your Jeffrey Epstein, Harvey Weinstein as well. All of those things connect.
That's somehow what I'm saying, like this, so I feel like that kind of worms is brewing.
But
do you know the point, it's only a matter of time for it to be over. Do you know who exposed Epstein?
Jeffrey Epstein?
Yeah.
Yeah, who?
Jeffrey Epstein.
Who did that? I don't know.
The person that started the process.
Was it Bill Gates?
No.
Who was that?
No. Bill Gates is actually on Epstein's island.
Yeah, I know.
The person that started the process was Donald Trump.
That started the process?
Yeah, it was his government that started it.
Process of what?
I can tell the process of unveiling
exposing Epstein. Okay.
I said it like Donald Trump. The reason why they will stop at nothing.
Yeah.
If they don't kill Donald Trump, trust me, it's going to be a miracle. They will stop at nothing for that guy to become.
Yeah, because Biden's administration has just covered that thing. They've been stalling that thing for years.
Yeah, they've been stalling it for years. You'll be surprised. But the fact is that if God is still the one that rules in the affairs of men, we'll see how far they can go.
Really. Yeah.
You know, because you can't keep putting people under, you keep selling wrong ideas, you keep selling Hollywood does now. There is no show that Hollywood does now that they don't introduce gay or transsexual.
Yeah, it's called inclusion.
There is nothing, they call DEI, diversity
and inclusion.
Equality and inclusion.
Yeah.
No, that's what they do.
That's the angle.
I mean, we are
on standby, and I'm sure when the gist is gets very ripe, we'll hop on it and you know, share our thoughts and exposes. From us at the Junction, we're signing out. We hope you've had fun. We'll catch you all next week. Until then, stay jiggy and stay soft. Saranoia.
Yeah.